Welcome back to Quest to the Core, where we dive deep into what it really means to lead with intention and to lead from the inside out. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. In this episode, we are exploring a topic that is at the heart of good leadership. That is the topic of thinking, not just the what we think about, but how we think.
We are going to focus on an article from Harvard Business Review titled "The Four Types of Thinking Leaders Need to Practice and Teach." The article is based on the premises that if you want to lead well, you need to do it intentionally by flexing into these four different types of thinking. Those four types are expert thinking, critical thinking, strategic thinking, and systems thinking.
We're going to unpack each one. We'll outline what it is, share about where it shows up and how to practice it. We'll also share some moments about how we've gotten stuck in thought traps rather than thinking. We'll also share and discuss what helped us to rethink and to move forward.
What I really love about this article is that it points out that each type of thinking is different. A lot of times we use these words interchangeably. We'll say, I need to think more strategically, or I need to think more critically. And we're thinking, we're meaning the same thing, but they're very different and they have very different outcomes and very different impacts when we recognize that there are different types of thinking. These four thinking modes really map nicely with the core framework of Quest to the Core. So curiosity drives questioning. Openness allows us to see the whole system, the bigger picture. Reflection helps us learn from what's behind us. And then with embracing, it is really about thinking how we are aligned with what we're trying to do and using that information to continue to help us do what we do.
When I first read this article, I was extremely intrigued. Never really thought about the four distinct types of thinking. And this article breaks down the four in really clear ways to think about them that I learned so much out of it and was able to overlay some examples from my own career about how I was using different types. I tend to overuse strategic thinking, the longer term thinking. And I thought I was using another type of thinking or more critical thinking. Let's jump right into it. The first one is expert thinking. So we're often on autopilot when we're making decisions in this space.
From our experiences that we have gained expert knowledge in, we've created these mental shortcuts that have allowed us, based on our experiences, to recognize patterns, to make decisions quickly. Sometimes it can appear as strategy, but it's more of strategy based off of experience, not true strategic thinking. So it really is kind of that autopilot. We've been there, we've done that. We know how to approach the situation. And there are great opportunities for this type of thinking. In most cases, this is what we do on a daily basis. This is how we think when getting our job done or producing or being effective. We tap into expert thinking quite a bit.
Novices or junior people can look at someone who is an expert. And then they'll try to repeat what they saw an expert do, but the expert has these learned patterns already that they just do. When the more junior person tries to do the same thing that they saw this senior leader do, it is a mistake, usually because they haven't given additional thought outside of that particular problem or what they're trying to solve. But the expert already has this long history of being able to use that particular skill. And it just seems seamless to a more junior person. But you start using it as a junior person, you can really screw up.
I think it's all the different pieces of data and information that we've gained over our time as we build up this level of expertise in our thinking. We can get trapped into this is the way we've always solved this problem, so we're going to continue to solve this problem. For me, I can think of lots of times professionally and personally of, oh, I've encountered this problem. This is how I've solved in the past. This is what we're going to do. Solved, check the box, and move on. Unfortunately, that problem may continue to come up over and over, and we still tap into our expert thinking to solve the problem. Then we create this vicious cycle of, I thought this was solved. Why is it not solved?
Adam Grant, his book, Think Again, he provides a lot of just very valuable examples throughout the whole book. One of the examples he talks about is an astronaut doing a spacewalk. I make the story a little jumbled up here, but he was doing a spacewalk and his mask started to fill up. He felt something wet in the back of his head. And he just chalked it up to, well, it's happened before. He was going about his work. They were finishing the spacewalk. He and his partner had to go around a different tether. They weren't together when they were going back into the capsule. There was one point where he had to turn upside down. In turning upside down, his mask started filling up with water. In a sense, he was like drowning in space. And this was the example that Adam Grant shared was, can you drown in space? It impacted the communication system, so he couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. He was safe. He made it back in. The sort of the punchline of the story was that the encounter of the water on previous spacewalk was, oh, this is what's happened. Not could it be something else? There was this mm-hmm. expert thinking that brought it. That actually there was a danger that popped up, and so when you think about the next type of thinking that the article identifies as critical thinking, that's where you do two things. First, what are my assumptions in this situation? And second, you're questioning those underlying mm-hmm. assumptions. When this NASA exercise, they didn't ask why. It was an expert response of, oh, this is it, but not using critical thinking by addressing it with expert thinking. Could have had catastrophic events for him. And Adam Grant's book is excellent. I don't know if you've read through it, but it's a great distinction between that expert thinking and the critical thinking.
Yeah.
I
would say expert thinking is valuable. It's needed. Like, we need to have expert knowledge and we need to navigate within expert thinking on a regular basis. But shifting into critical thinking, it's really asking or reframing, what is missing? What information, what data do I not have that I need to get more so that we can make a better decision? But it requires us slowing down because expert thinking is autopilot, as you mentioned, and it's very quick and it's very easy. We can take the data points, make a decision, and move on. Whereas critical thinking takes time to step back and say, this is all the information I have. What else do I need to know? Is this question really the problem? Are we solving what we think we need to solve, or is there something else that we actually need to consider?
It's taking a scientist's mind, really. Mm-hmm. It's stepping back and here's this hypothesis of this problem. Here's what I think the answer is. Could it be something else? If you overlay that critical thinking and not go with the expert thinking in some instances, it could have different outcomes.
Well, and there's lots of strategies that we use as leaders or even teach in trainings and workshops on how to critically think and asking questions and the five whys and reframing the problem and all of those things. The caution that I would give is most of us, we continue to have the same perspective, even as we're asking those questions, even as we're trying to reframe the problem, we're still kind of stuck in that same perception of the problem. So we really do have to push ourselves to critically think about us critically thinking. Is that even possible?
You're right. This comes back to the willingness of thinking about the problem. Not only is it the right problem, but am I the only one trying to solve the problem? You mean I get to the level of critical thinking that you need, having someone else in that inquiry of the problem can make the solution that much more rich. With the guy with NASA, if it hadn't been expert thinking, if it had been other people doing the thinking, then they may have come up with several possibilities of that. Or it could have been they would have figured out this other potentially serious issue where someone could, in fact, actually drown in space.
Well, and it's just simply asking that question of, I wonder why. I wonder why water is coming in, and just vocalizing it sometimes helps us say, oh, maybe I need to look at this a little bit differently. Maybe an expert answer or solution is not the way that I need to approach this. Sometimes just getting it out in the open allows us to recognize, hey, maybe I do need to, you know, get others' input on this situation, other perspectives. Again, going back to the curiosity and the openness, being curious, but then being open and willingness to hear what the additional information that you didn't think of because you're the expert or you've experienced this before. And so what additional information do you need to have in order to make a better decision?
Mm-hmm. Expert thinking and critical thinking requires having a problem to solve. The other two types of thinking don't necessarily require a problem to solve. So if you have a problem to solve, then what kind of thinking is needed to solve this problem? The lesson here is, are you thinking about the thinking that you need to use? Let's jump into the third one, the strategic thinking. Strategic thinking is really the space where you're using your imagination, imagining what could be. You're looking ahead and you're asking, hey, what about, or what if, what could be, what's next? It really is dealing in the idea of what's possible, not what is actually happening right now.
I love this challenge of when strategic thinking equals imagination, which I think probably makes some people feel uncomfortable, especially those who think that they're a very analytical, strategic thinker, that we're like, no, in order to be strategic, you have to almost be childlike. You have to think about those possibilities. I watched a facilitation where someone had this group of leaders close their eyes and imagining that they had a like rocket suit that they could go to the moon. And they had to just imagine themselves going to the moon, going around the moon, then landing back on Earth. The conversation that stemmed from this whole exercise of imagination is that most individuals in the room simply already imagined them having the suit on and then took off, went around the moon and landed back. Whereas those that went into more of that, you know, imagination, strategic thinking, they started with, okay, this rocket suit, what does the suit look like? What can the suit do? What all does the suit need to have? How does the suit work? They didn't just go around the moon, but they talked about gazing at the stars and looking at the other planets and all of these things that we can consider when we're opening our thoughts and minds with our imagination when it comes to trying to look at whatever it is, problem, or it could be a project or a goal or whatever that looks like for you as a leader, tapping into that childlike imagination creates endless possibilities.
That'd be a great exercise to put into a training class. Did they use it as a thinking one, or was it a...
It was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it was. Did they just differentiate the different types of thinking?
It wasn't about the different types of thinking. It was the first part of a design thinking workshop. It was creating that space of possibilities, trying to solve a problem that is big, hairy, that there's not a simple solution for. So we need broader thinking. That was just an exercise to get them to think about their own thinking.
When I think about the three that we talked about so far, and then also the fourth one, systems, we'll talk about in a minute. But the how do you differentiate those three? The article has a great example about, you know, an elevator being broken. I encourage you to go to the website, look at the article, go to Harvard Business Review, download the article, and it has a great example. For myself, what would it be in my world, my kind of thinking about turnover, if we brought expert thinking to a turnover problem? We might say something like, people leave bad managers. Let's just make sure that the managers are trained and are better managers. And then what about the critical thinking? So if I brought that problem of turnover to critical thinking, you know, I might question some of my assumptions around why they're leaving. Is this just a perception issue that it is high turnover, or is it a data issue that it's high turnover? What's the turnover compared to other teams? What's the source of the turnover? Is it internal? Is it external? Are they getting promoted, which is a great thing? You know, you've got this turnover issue. Expert thinking would handle it one way and critical thinking would handle it another. And then you've got the strategic thinking. The strategic thinking might look at it differently. Inside of the world of the possibility, is it bad that there's turnover? Is it really a bad thing? Really examining what's possible. So we've got this turnover. What's possible with it? Well, if we're trying to shift our culture to be more of an innovation-focused culture, if a bunch of people are leaving, then let's shift it so that we can hire people that can help with that growth or innovation mindset that we're going for. An example for me, I ran a call center previously, and we had high turnover. And as you know, it's not uncommon for call centers. And the leaders wanted to change it. They said, that's not who we are. We want to have low turnover. And one way would have been to just start, let's have incentives, let's pay people more.
Let's make people happy.
To make people happy. That was the conversation. Let's make them happy so they'll want to stay. And I said, what if we just helped them stay longer? Because do we really want people to stay in this frontline job for their whole career? If the average tenure was 11 months, what if we kept them for 18 months? That productivity that we would have for that additional 7 months, I started playing around with the numbers. What would that do? Our focus shifted from let's reduce turnover to let's extend tenure. Let's want people to stay a little bit longer. Yes, we want you to go, but here's how we want you to go. We want you to go with great foundational skills. We want you to be proud of the work that you did. We want this to be a job that can help you get your next job, because we know this isn't your forever job. And that shifted. So people were like, so they know that I want to leave? Yeah, we know you want to leave. This is a hard role. And for those of you who really like this role, because the shift or the experience actually works for you and your family, if you want to be here 5 years, stay 5 years.
Right.
And we'll put some other paths in place for you as well, so that the things that are really monotonous about the job don't grate on you. It was a strategic type of thinking that we laid over it. Part of it is because that's just how I think. I think outside of the box, and it was a natural way for me to think. I didn't realize that, hey, that's the type of thinking that I was overlaying on that particular situation. Now there are some situations that I know that I've over-engineered in my life because I always was bringing strategic thinking. I didn't need that.
Right.
I just needed this quick solve, not me over-engineering this thing.
Now that you have this enlightenment of really categorizing these different types of thinking, how do you see yourself identifying a situation and being able to shift from, okay, I don't need to use expert thinking in this. I do need to use more critical thinking.
When I know, hey, I need to make a decision, I stop and say, what's the decision I need to make? And what kind of thinking is needed for that decision? So I've just made a game out of it for myself rather than just jumping in. It's like, okay, I know the answer to it, and just and running off and doing it.
So being intentional.
I'm still building this. Yes.
Being intentional about the type of thinking that you're going to do. Again, thinking about your thinking, which is fabulous.
Short answer, yes. Thank you very much, Dr. J. Yeah. It is intentionally thinking about my thinking.
Which I love that. I really do love that. The more that we can be intentional about our thinking, the better our thinking actually becomes, and the more effective we can be, which I think leads us into the fourth type of thinking, which is systems thinking. That's the big picture thinking. For me, watching you with your strategic kind of futuristic, it also has a touch of that systems thinking, because strategic thinking is typically more broader, longer term. Systems thinking includes that, but it adds those interconnections. What are all of those connections? When I was reading the article, I was thinking about as a kid doing those dot to dot you know, color pages where you connect the dots and then there's a picture that appears. For me, systems thinking is just that. It's like, what are all of those dots? Like, what dots am I missing? Because I only have half the picture. How do I create this true image of connecting all the dots? I have all the variables that can reveal some things that we may not even know that are there.
I come at things naturally from a systems perspective. I love seeing the whole picture, and it's a game for me to, you know, when I move this one puzzle piece out, what does it do to the rest of the playing field? The system thinking and the strategic thinking do really go hand in hand. With systems thinking, it really is your Lean Six Sigma environments. Mm-hmm. And there's what I love about that is there's so many tools that it intentionally has you stop to think about the thinking. There's a process for and a way to do everything. I love it. It puts numbers in down to even the number of people who are submitting improvement ideas. Well, what's our environment such that people don't come up with ideas? It really speaks to that whole system piece of it that is just, it shifts an environment.
And I also think it can be applied or overlaid to humans as we are leading or managing people. How do we connect skill sets? How do we connect individuals with one another across the organization or even across our own network to ensure that they are getting developed or growth or exposure? It's making those connections, not just with projects, problems, processes, those types of things, but also with our people and being able to see bigger picture, but then also come back in and see what's going on that level.
Having that type of thinking really helps balance out when a company is trying to be filled with high performance. Well, in building a high-performance culture, you run the risk of turning it into an expert culture.
Say that again. I think that's very profound.
You're focusing on building a high-performance culture where we're going to measure performance, we're going to track performance, and you perform. It drives expert thinking and really only doing expert thinking. People are not going to want to step up and add something contrary because it might slow something down. If you put the rigor of a systems thinking environment on top of that high performance culture, you're measured on actually slowing down to get better. If that's one of the things you're measuring, you can build high performance in there. Hey, you got to be careful what you ask for. Yeah. Because if you're building this high performance culture, you could really be eliminating critical thinking.
Which is needed.
It's absolutely needed. You need expert thinking at times. When there's an emergency going on, you need expert thinking, but you also need strategic thinking as well too, because you're running off trying to solve this problem, but you're going on autopilot. And you're doing the same thing over and over, and then everybody starts throwing the quote around. Well, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting different results. What's happening is you've gotten into this method of expert thinking, and you're not deliberately using other types of thinking. I know in Adam Grant's book, he has this, is a pretty horrific story about a group of firefighters who were fighting. Are you familiar with the story? They were running up the hill trying to fight the story. So correct me on anything that I say wrong on this. They're trying to run away from it because mm-hmm. they know that it's gotten out of hand, and they're not doing well. The leader of the group starts setting a fire to meet the fire coming on, and then drops to the ground, covers up, and he's the only one that survived. The example from that was he was willing to rethink what he had already thought, like, because they're this group of experts, so they're running with this gear to try to outrun the fire, but because it's so automatic, they don't even think to drop their heavy gear. It's this automatic thinking that we get into. One of the best points that Adam Grant makes in that book is he distinguishes intelligence from what's needed now. Intelligence is thought of as the ability to think and learn. But in the times of chaos or in times of real strife, we need different cognitive skills. And that's the cognitive skills that include the ability to unlearn and rethink. In that book, Think Again, if listeners are wanting to figure out, hey, this Harvard Business Review article, I've looked at it while I'm listening to you, and there's just a lot of stuff in there. Yeah. Adam Grant's book has a lot of great real life lessons in there.
I think the book, as well as the article, mentions and talks about being on autopilot. It is just easier for us to go through, especially when we get to a certain point or level in our careers that, you know, we've gotten to this point. We know we are on autopilot. We are still being successful, but at some point there's a plateau or there's a challenge or there's a situation where we don't know how to solve it, or it continues to keep surfacing. And being intentional, taking the time, energy, and effort, and just to stop and think about our thinking, think about how we are thinking about the situation, challenge our own thinking. Mm-hmm. And it takes effort. It takes intentionality to think about your thinking and to take the situation and say, is this the right thinking? Am I thinking about this the way that I need to in order to create the environment or to solve the problem or to lead a team? A lot of it starts with that root of how are we thinking about it? Because our thinking determines the approach that we're going to take. Making sure that we have that self-awareness of what type of thinking that we're having is going to help set us up for success and ultimately set our teams up for success.
One way to measure the type of thinking that you're using is time. If you have an immediate answer when somebody asks you a question, you're using
expert thinking. Thinking. Have a question to their question. Mm-hmm. That's critical thinking. And I love that.
Yes. Yes.
I love answering a question with a question.
Yes. It changes the dynamic of it. But that's one way that our listeners can develop in this area is just recognize, look at what you're doing. When somebody asks you a question, when somebody brings you a problem, do you have an immediate answer? If you don't have questions immediately, you're not using the other types of thinking.
Each of us as individuals probably naturally gravitate to one type of thinking. It just is easier for us. I know we've talked a lot about your ability to strategically think and maybe overuse that a little bit, as well as systems thinking. Being able to partner together and think with others, we can tap into what they're naturally good at. And even with systems thinking is that I may feel like that I've made all the connections. Then when I share thoughts with you, you're able to make additional connections. The picture just gets clearer or gets bigger. We're able to take in more information, more data to help us make better decisions. As we wrap up today's episode, we want to leave you with a question. Which way of thinking have you relied on, and which one have you avoided and why? Noticing your patterns is the first step to understanding them, and that's where growth begins, and that's where we can shift into different types of thinking. Because really, the deeper truth is how we think shapes who we are and how we lead, how we connect, how we grow. Our thinking is the foundation. So expanding our thinking expands our awareness and it expands who we are. But that takes intention, it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes courage.
Next time, we'll focus on the being versus doing of leadership. Until then, question what you know, explore what you avoid, and trust that the quest inward always leads outward to something more meaningful.